Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you are glad you're here this morning? I'm glad you're here too. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's say a prayer before we get into the message. And I thank you all for being here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And we're now going to get into your Word. And Father, I ask that as I share with your people the wonderful things that you've laid on my heart, may it be a blessing to them as it is to me. And Father, may they prosper by it, may they grow by it, and may they learn by it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we've been studying about the devil. and how he does things. And we had dealt with a book on the subject of how you deal with the enemy, and we found out that the information that he had given us, without me going back into it, is definitely information that comes through a seducing spirit. And today we're living in the concept of the sovereignty of God in a big way. But the sovereignty of God, there is a sovereignty to God, but it's for our benefit, not for our demise. And when you're speaking of sovereignty, you've got to realize that one thing that God is in his sovereignty is when he gives his word, he keeps it. He honors his word even above his name, which means his word is not only his existence, but it's ours as well. Praise God. And we've been bringing out that God is not in the business of using any form of evil to bring about good. Also, God is in control of this world through the body of Christ and the earth until the church is removed. The devil's power only functions in the earth through deception. And the kingdom of the heavens functions under the authority delegated to the church in the earth through the word operating out of its spirit. And Satan knows you win a man's mind, you have him. Capture his thoughts and you control him. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we've covered the issue that Satan wants to get into our thinking, our way of thinking, how we put things together. And God's word is another way that God has revealed himself to us. So that once we know the Word of God and what it has to say about anything, the purpose of that is so that we change the way that we think. And when we're born into this world, it clearly defines that we were once under a prince, the power of the air, that is now working in the sons of disobedience to indoctrinate the whole world. And so we glory in the fact that because God is in control of this world, then whatever happens to us, it's because God planned it that way. And that's the furthest thing from the truth there is. It is a lie that has been sold into the church. And yes, God is sovereign, but God also has given everything to man, and Jesus had to come along, and he had to put a position in God, as she was saying about seated in heavenly places with him. That is a position that God has confirmed to us as the church, that we are now elevated in Christ with him. We're joint heirs with him. So the information that God would give Jesus is the same information that goes to the church. And so the church, under the redemptive work of Christ, has an authority at work within the earth, but you got to remember, Satan is still the god of this world, and people don't realize that, and he is the Lord over those who do not believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or who are not illuminated. Now, I want to share something with you that many people don't understand about the book of Job. Because everybody always comes up with the concept of the book of Job. You've got to realize in the Old Testament who was the God over the spirits of mankind? Can anybody tell me? Satan, he was the Lord over the spirit of mankind. Jesus and God had lost that concept. Are you following me? At the fall of Adam. And so God's redemptive work was planned at how to regain back the spirits of mankind. And so what he did is once God spoke the seed, the redemptive seed into the earth from that moment on, then God then became what? Became the author of salvation that would come through Jesus Christ. And whoever got saved in the Old Testament, guess what? It was consummated through the New Testament because Jesus came and passed the test. Praise God. But everything, you got to realize Satan was over the spirit of mankind at that time. And so in that case, whoever received the promise of the seed that was to come, then it was accounted to them for righteousness. It was accounted to them for everything that God had to offer while they believed in him. And so that's when paradise was conceived in the earth, the center of the earth. There's three compartments in the earth. There's the place of torment, Sheol. Then there's what we call Tartarus, where the fallen angels had transgressed the seed law, and they're chained up there until they're released in the last 7-year period. And then you have what we call paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And that's a place where the spirits of mankind who received pre-incarnate Jesus, they went there and waited until their Redeemer came to release them. And he was Jesus. And so when Jesus left his physical body and went into the center of the earth, he went over and he made a proclamation to all the spirits that were in paradise or Abraham's bosom, where they were there, because the authority of spiritual death was still in the rule of Lucifer himself. And so then Jesus went over into the place of Hades and took death, hell, and the grave, the keys, away from the authority of Satan. And now Jesus is over the spirit of every man that is born into this world. Hallelujah. And so their eternal destiny is up to God now, not Satan. And I want to share something with you about this sovereign thinking. You can carry it too far to where everything that happens to you, it was designed of God. People, nothing can be further from the truth. That is a lie sold to the church. It is a lie right out of the pit of hell. You're the one who is in charge of your own spiritual destiny. You're the one that's in charge of your own natural life. Are you following me? And then when you die, the authority of where your inner man goes is up to God, not Lucifer. Amen? Because Lucifer lost control over the spirits of mankind when Jesus took that authority from him after the fall of Adam and Eve. And that's why it switched over to the cross. The cross now is a sign to the world. Are you following me? That mankind has a position in Jesus to where he's no longer unjustified, but justified through Jesus Christ. And so the world has to look at the cross today and make a decision whether they want to continue on their own or they want to continue the rest of their life with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, people. There is no other way into the kingdom of heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Narrow is the way into the kingdom. Broad is the way to destruction. And don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking that there are alternatives into the kingdom of heaven. There is none. And so, we understand very clearly that an undisciplined mind is wide open to satanic attacks. Now, I'm going to share some things to you today that I think is going to really help you because it's really helped me. The Bible is very clear according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, that we are to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, which means our thinking can get out of line. And that's what I call our natural thinking, our reasoning that we developed as we grew up into this world and things begin to happen to us and we didn't know how to respond correctly, because that kind of mind had no boundaries given to it. Are you following me? because that mind did not know the Word of God. But once we come into the kingdom of God, now the Word of God is available to whomever would desire to let God reveal Himself to them. But it's up to mankind. It's not up to the devil. It's up to mankind whom they choose to serve. Are you following me? And so the only way Satan has any personal attack against anybody is that they believe not. And therefore they're vulnerable to the attacks that Satan has to offer. And it's in their thinking. It's in their mind. That's where our warfare is. And Paul tried to get this across. Now I'm going to share with you about, how many of you ever heard the word perception? To perceive something. There are three ways that mankind can perceive things. Two of them, we didn't need the kingdom of God. But the third one requires knowing the kingdom of God. And so those three areas of perception, number one is called rationalism. And in the Bible, that word literally means the mind comes up with a belief apart from any other factor. In other words, any thought that comes into your thinking, you can adhere to it as a belief. This is very dangerous because you need the Word of God to corral that kind of mind. And rationalism is found only in, now I want you to get this, it's only found in the natural mind. Hello? So when we get born again, we inherit what we call a spiritual mind. In other words, we inherit spiritual identity. We didn't have that before because we thought holistically. But once you get born again, you're circumcised. Your identity was split in two. And it was identified as that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Now you can be born again and not know it. Not know how it works. You can be saved and not know how it works. Did you know that? Because salvation is not according to head knowledge. Salvation is according to the sovereignty of God who chooses to save you regardless of what you know. Now, the religious mind has rationalized within itself that it can earn its way into the kingdom of heaven through works. Craziness. That's one way of perceiving things. In other words, you can just think vanity in your mind. You can create something that is not there. None of us have done that. None of us have accused somebody of thinking of us a certain way without them even saying anything to us. I know many times I walked into the sanctuary and somebody said hi to me and I didn't pay attention to them. And they left the church because they had determined that I hate them. You know what that was from? Rationalism. They allowed some thinking to come into them apart from any kind of insight. You know, if you really question what somebody thinks about you, go ask them. That doesn't mean you're going to get the truth, but ask them anyway. At least you're in good ground. They can't say you didn't come and ask them. But they'll find out eventually, sooner or later, behind you'll talk about them behind their back, and they'll find out about it. How do I know? It happened to me. And so, can Satan be everywhere at once? Well, we as believers, we think you're saying that he's omnipresent. That's crazy. Because omnipresence is one thing Satan doesn't have. That's what you call thinking Christian-like. But did you know that when we say that Satan can't be everywhere at once, do you know that Satan has another way of being everywhere at once? He's called the God of this world, and guess what? He amplifies himself through the rulers of this world. He indoctrinates mankind, and he can be everywhere at once. If you don't believe me, turn on your internet or turn on TV. Voila, he's there to program you into his way of thinking. And so he'll use anybody and anything in the world to project himself. But the thing about Satan is he keeps himself undercover because he doesn't want to get the blame for all the rottenness that's done. He wants God to get credit for it. You know, next time that happens to me, me and God are going to have an issue. Why can't we say, me and Satan are going to have an issue? When does Satan ever get credit for all the wrong that's done? Because people think God's in control of the world. And God is only in control of your world personally if you belong to Jesus. Now, what if you don't belong to Jesus? Thank God you came along because somebody, you know, friend, relative, children, whatever it is, you possess salvation for them. Why? Because you can do what I call stand in intercession for them because of their ignorance and not yours. Ooh, even those who don't believe have a chance because we live in Him. Right? Now, we brought out in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that he goes about as a roaring lion. His one goal is to get you away from the herd. Getting you away from the body of Christ. He likes sick individual people. Because those are easier to attack than the ones in the herd. And that's why God developed herds called churches, where we bond together to protect each other. So that we're not independent in our thinking and wonder. And just guess what? You can even be in the herd and be sick. But eventually, you'll find yourself alone. If there's a sickness working in you, especially in your thinking, you'll find yourself alone. You won't find yourself thinking in the herd, but apart from the herd called independent thinking. I'm going to tell you something, people. That's why we're not going to have... Well, I better not say that. The second way of perception is what we call sensory, the sensory system, which means knowledge received through the senses that is sent into the mind, and there it becomes a reality. When God created healing, it was not for your outer man to confirm it. It was for your inner man to receive it. Which brings up the third way of your perception. And that is what we call faith. The evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews 11:1. And see, that's where Satan is residing, in that unseen realm. Are you following me? And so when you get the mind of God, then you're not only dealing with that which is in this realm, but you're also dealing with what's happening in that realm. Amen? You know, the church today, we don't think much of angels, but you know, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who have inherited salvation. Not being saved, but inherit salvation. The power of our gospel given to us in Christ. And so angels, what angels do is they deal in the unseen realm where yours and my prayer life operate. And that's where we operate in faith. We actually instruct the unseen realm to work on our behalf. Amen? And that's a good positive thing because we can pray for those who are having problems, pray for those who do not see the light of the glorious gospel. Pray for the believers who do not see the light of the glorious gospel. Amen. So with that thought in mind, I want us to turn over to Proverbs 29:18. And I want to share something with you that I think will help you. I know that I was sharing this with a particular individual. And when I was sharing it with him, he literally was super blessed. He said that really did a lot to free him up. He had not seen it from that aspect. But you got to realize Satan's number one goal is to go after the minds of man. That's his number one goal. In Proverbs 29:18, which is a very interesting statement. People, I'm going to tell you something. People have come up to me and said, Pastor, pray for me that I would have wisdom. I wish I had little booklets called Proverbs. Because then if you asked me to pray for you for wisdom, I could hand you that little booklet and say, read this, and you've got all the wisdom you need in that book. It's powerful. In Proverbs 29, look at verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now, when you're keeping law, it means that you're under perimeters where you will not trespass. It literally means you are in a place of what we call resistance. You're resisting violating the law. Because the word cast off restraint literally means where you're left naked, you have no protection. There's no way for you to resist anything. And it's predicated on the fact of what? Of having no revelation. The word no revelation here literally means a prophetic vision. See, in the Old Testament, the prophets came with the Word of God. They spoke it to the people. They didn't have Bibles like you and I. And if they had any written concept of the Word, it was to those who were in leadership that were writing it down. But they were writing down what the prophets had given. They didn't have a King James Bible. And they didn't have a new King James Bible. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't even have the original text. So what they went by is a formal gathering, and they quoted the Word of God off of one person who was in charge and gave it to the people. And so then eventually it was written down, and then it was made available to the people. But the word revelation here is the Hebrew word hazon, and it literally means a revelation or a prophecy that had been received from a prophet. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to go then to Hosea 4:6. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This word destroyed is a very interesting word. It takes on more accurate meanings when you carry it over into the New Testament. But the word for destroyed here literally goes to the word to perish or let something go. And so when you have no revelation, the people have no way of resisting, especially that which is evil. But if they have the knowledge to resist it, they can resist the evil that could come upon them. That's not hard to figure out, is it? And then over in Proverbs 4:6, and let's just go over there real quick, like. Or Hosea 4:6, I mean. You got to give me a little patience. I'm not in the book that often in the Old Testament. I'm starting to really enjoy it more. In verse 5, therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. I don't want to go into that part of the revelation of the verse. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now look at that word there, destroyed. This word literally means dama. It literally means my people are taken out because they are dumb. That's literally what it means. It's because they remain stupid. The first thing Satan does not want you to know is your position in Christ. He doesn't want you to know your authority that belongs to you. Because once you start using the Word of God on him, he has to get out of the way. Because you are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not under the authority of the God of this world any longer. You're free to resist him. But it all comes in how you think. Now, the word, where there's no vision, the people perish. The word vision is a very interesting word. It not only it involves a revelation, but the word vision in the Hebrew there means a mental seeing. It's not referring to what you see with the natural eye. It's referring to what you see in the mind. Are you got? It's called a mental perception. Now, if you and I are now new believers in Christ Jesus, our mental perception has changed. It is no longer dealing with what you see in the natural. It is now dealing with the Word of God that puts perimeters on the way we think to protect us from the way we used to think. You see. And so, the most dangerous person on the planet Earth is a believer who is not growing in the kingdom of God. He then, listen, Satan can get into a believer's way of thinking to the point the believer himself can become an enemy to the cross. Because he's claiming Jesus, and yet he brings a reproach because he's doing nothing with allowing the adversary out of the way that he thinks. That's called hypocrisy. The unbeliever in the world that's looking for an excuse, they'll turn and tell you the reason we're not going to church is the hypocrites in it. Aren't you glad to be identified with hypocrisy even though you're a churchgoer? I don't think so. Just because there are hypocrites in the church doesn't mean you are one. Am I right? I wish I knew how many were in this church here. I would say that number is a number that are not hypocrites. Now, this might blow your mind, this might blow your theology, but the word perish means to let go. And the word destroyed is a very interesting word. When I got over into the New Testament, I never could connect the second death with the epistles. And when I mean referring to second death, literally, the second time that a person then is brought to eternal separation from Christ. The first one is he's remaining in Hades until what? Until the church is removed. Then they remain there until the great white throne. They're brought out, they possess a physical body again, and they stand before the Lord because that is what they inherited. Are you following me? Now they have to go into what we call the second death, which means eternal separation from God, which is the lake of fire. Are you following me? Because Jesus is now in control of mankind's spirit. When the man dies, his spirit returns to God, meaning it returns to God for the judgment. It does not go back to Satan, it goes back to God. So Hades is being filled with those who have rejected God. Not who rejected. There are Christians who don't even believe in the devil. Did you know that? They don't even believe that that God's going to have an eternal punishment for mankind, because God is a God of love and he would not do that. Did you know that? Yeah. But they forgot one thing. When a person goes to hell, it's not because Jesus, or it's not because Satan put them there. It's because they chose to go there. It's not up to Satan where a man dies and left eternally. It's up to God. It goes back to the subject of the cross. Is this making sense to you? Now, this is where you might get a little caught off guard, but would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? And let's look at something here. Because we're coming across from the subject that Satan wants the way you think. He wants your mind. And if you don't know how to disown your natural mind and its way of thinking, this is where Satan can come in and depress a person. Put pressure on the way they think. Satan will come and put pressure on the way you used to have been abused. He puts pressure on you. You got what you deserve because you had something to do with it. You know, they got this argument going now about men seducing women. And so they got, what do they term it now? Me Too? What is it? Now we're all coming forward and we're going to admit, you know, that the same guy, you know, that's the way the world is. Let's blame everybody else for the things that have happened to us. You know, that's the God of this world working in the hearts of men that don't know God. And so we're sitting there and we're thinking Weinstein is the problem. No, he's just one of the people being used by the enemy, to be honest with you. And we permitted ourselves to get into that thing. A lot of these women, I heard the testimony, a lot of them were looking for promotion in life. And so you got to realize that unless you come into the kingdom of God and you make Jesus the Lord of your life and your identity now changes from that which you were naturally to that which you are spiritually, there is no hope for this world because this world does not know how to change the way that it thinks. It can only think good things. And if the good things are not stabilized by the spirit of a man, then there's no telling where they can go. I always try to tell believers that come to me, I was ripped off and I don't understand why this happened. And I just saying, no idea why they were allowed to do that. Why God? Well, I got news for you. You can't come to me and tell me God didn't warn you. God speaks every time before you get into trouble. You just don't listen. But God was there to say something. How do I know that? Me? Every time I got into a mess, you know whose problem it was? It was me that failed to hear when God gave me a check about something. You know, when you're young in the Lord, you're not prone to hear God's voice say, don't do that. Even if God said, don't do that, you'd sit there and say, is that gone? When your own desire can override what you're getting into. You got to develop yourself to the point where you have support on some things. And that's where your brothers and sisters come in. Bounce it off of them. Bounce it off of somebody. Make sure. Is this godly way of thinking? When people do that to me, bounce things off of me, I the first thing I go back to is what kind of fruit will it produce? Oh, it'll make me a rich person. That's the first sign. You're not listening to the right voice. Anyway, with this thought in mind, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want us to catch something here that will be very interesting to all of us. The Lord spoke this verse to me, literally spoke it to me out of my spirit. And, you know, thank God, people, I understand the Greek language. Not everybody has that ability. I see now why God forced me into knowing that language, because that was the language that God had sustained the entire New Testament in, is that language called Koine or Common Greek, which came off of Alexander the Great. I don't want to get into a Greek lesson here. But anyway, when I got into studying this Greek language and stuff, I begin to understand the etymology of the Greek text. And what I mean by etymology means how words were originally used in off of the original text of your Bible. And so let's read these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to get a hold of this because I think it'll really help you. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now he's coming at verse 1 here off of what was previously said. You got to understand things contextually. He says, but we all with unveiled faces, verse 18 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians here. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what he's saying here in verse 18 is this. He's coming down to the fact that we are no longer like the Old Testament believer. We are now having the veil removed. What does he mean by the veil being removed? We no longer have our natural life veiling us from the gospel. Because we can look on the inside of us, which means where we are spiritually, being born again. We can look into our inner man and see the Spirit of Christ. Anyone that has not the Spirit of Christ is not his. We have the Spirit of Christ. We don't have his Spirit, but we have a Spirit like his. And so we look on the inside of us, and that's where transformation really takes place, in our spirit being, our inner man. And then we're transformed into his image through that understanding. We develop ourselves spiritually. You got it? Then our outer man is blessed by it. Because once our inner man is secured in the way it thinks, it controls the way our outer man thinks. See, big difference. Now, he's saying, and we're changed from glory to glory. The word glory means the strength of something. And so what he's saying, from glory to glory, he means from the glory of what we were flesh to what we are spiritually. From glory to glory. From one glory to the other glory. Are you following me? And he says, then we're changed into that image. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, which you are. Listen, people, I'm going to tell you, the word of God is handled so deceitfully, especially on TV. It's getting to where I can't hardly even watch these television ministers, because they are deceitfully handling the word of God. And it really, a lot of it comes down to money. They really want your money. Now watch this. But by manifestation of the truth. This means to stand with people and God. Both. Watch this. But by manifestation of commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do you know the consciousness of men is important? And how you stand before God and man is important. Because if you have a conscience toward God, you better have the same conscience towards man. What do they think about you? Now that you're a believer. Now watch this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now I want you to stop there and I want you to look at that verse. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. That's the New King James. But did you know that there are other translations put to them who are lost? And it would lead you to believe that the gospel is hid to those who are not saved. Hello? If the translators put the word lost in there, it means to those who are not saved. And so that's what you go right into thinking right away, that the gospel is only hid to those who are not saved. But in the Greek, it's not the word saved. It is the word perishing. This is a very interesting Greek word. It's two words put together. Two words put together to give you some insight. And here it is. The word perishing here is the one we find destroyed in the Old Testament. Dama. And so what he's saying here, he's not referring to just lost people. He's referring to lost people and saved people. Because they use the word perishing. It literally means that the God of this world can blind somebody who literally are perishing. And why are they perishing? because they do not believe in the illumination of the gospel in the way they see things in their mind. It means you can be a believer or an unbeliever. I often wondered, why do some people die before their time? Oh, they're preserved from evil. That's great. But who's going to take it to heart? I've taken it to heart. I want to know why people are dying before their time. Why are they not out from under the curse when the Bible says, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're no longer under the law or the curse of it? Why? Because you're no longer regimented by law. You are regimented by the law of Christ, which refers to spiritual things working on the inside of you. And so when you get into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and you talk about those that whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 18 told us in chapter 3, we're no longer veiled. And that means a believer can be just as much veiled as a lost person. Because not only can Satan take the lost out, he can take the unbelieving believer out. Now, Pastor, you got to have scripture on this. I certainly do. 1 Peter chapter 5. It said, because the same things that are accomplished through the devil is the same thing that happens to the brethren. Why? Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Listen, lions don't go about eating somebody by yelling and screaming. He's very subtle, very, very creepy, very stealth. And he'll leap upon a person and devour him and then roar out, I trapped him, I got him, he's my food. So he goes about making you think you're his food. That's how he goes about making you think he's got you. That's why there are believers who will argue with the faith, the perception of faith, because they think that God is in control of them. And whatever happens to them will happen. I'm preaching to you today, that's not true. It's because you and I are responsible for what happens to our life, not God. Well, you just don't understand the addiction I'm going through. You know what? I understand people's addictions because I was one. Still am to a degree. Not bad things, but I don't want to say. You know, natural things. You collect natural things. You guys know me too well. Shut up. Anyway. But it's a weakness that's found in us, not in God, in us. And if we don't examine ourselves, then we'll never open up to ourselves to change. You know, it says in the latter times that we're living in, it says people will look to have teachers with itch that will itch their ears. How many of you had an ear itch? You go to scratching it, don't you? I've had an ear itch, and it bothers you until you scratch it, and then I feel good now. It's referring to people who cannot stand to hear truth, and so they want to go someplace where they're not offended by what they're hearing against themselves. And you're going to, that's why a lot of Christians move around from church to church. They're waiting to hear what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And that's how the God of this world can blind their minds and cause them to perish. The word perishing there is not referring, are you ready for this? It's not referring to eternal death. That's in the hand of God. It's referring to physical death. Matter of fact, this word perishing literally means to even lead you to an untimely and discriminating death. See, Satan, he wants to take your life. You want to know why? Because he wants to destroy the witness that you produce within yourself for him. I know what it's like when I heard about my friend, my pastor friend, regional director for years. And I never knew what was going on in his mind. And he built a facility, $5 million church. The church is exploding. And he's preaching the same stuff we are. But then all of a sudden, he started going crazy. He started getting into fights, physical knockdown fights with people. And he was bringing such a reproach to the church that he had to face himself what he's doing. And then he led his whole church against the liberals and started promoting Trump and coming against all the liberals. And it was so unlike him. I didn't know what it meant. What happened to him? And then I heard he committed suicide. Took his life. And I began to realize he had some things going on in his thinking he didn't know how to deal with. And so when they did an autopsy, they found out that he had a very strong liver disease within him. He's never been to doctors. Don't believe in him. He had a liver disease that went to his brain and made him think weird. I'm going to tell you something, people. We need to know our enemy, Satan. And we need to get a revelation of this. Whether we're saved or not saved, that mind left to itself is too little to be wandering around. You've got to control it by the Word of God. You've got to control it by the Word of God. Your perception has to be through the Word of God. And when your perception is through the Word of God, you can whip the devil on his own territory. I had a friend of mine call me. Just called me one night. And I loved him so much, but he had a problem. He had a very bad problem. And it was with other women. And he calls me and he says, well, after thinking everything through and he's getting counseling and everything, he says, Jan, can you tell me what went wrong? Well, his whole concept of his problem, he blamed it on his wife. Blamed it on her. You know what? My problems? I'm glad you're around so I can blame it on you. My ministry is what you did to me. And so he said, Jan, where did it go wrong? I said, blah, blah. It's called adultery. It's adultery. And his wife, being a woman of God, she could discern that. But she would be the first one to tell you that was always in him to blame somebody else for his problem. People, we need to examine ourselves first. And thank God she stood her ground as being a godly woman that she stood her ground. Praise God. She wasn't unmoved by it. Because she knows her Redeemer, her Lord. I don't even know if she's here today. She might be here today. Oh, she is. I just saw her. It was okay what I shared, right? Oh, okay. I give you good credit, woman of God. But she knows what I'm talking about. Listen, the enemy wants your mind. He wants the way that you think. He wants to blame it on you, first of all. And God wants you to know yourself, first of all. Are you following me? He wants you to get a revelation of how you're thinking so you'll change it the way he thinks. You know what? You know, how many of you can say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ in this building? Get your hands up. Everyone that believes that, put your hands up. under righteousness of God in Christ. Guess what? That is righteousness that was given you. That's a fact in the mind of God. And guess what? I don't care how you think in the mind of God, you're righteous. But in your mind, you might not think that way. Well, when you start not thinking like God said, what you are, you're letting the lion roar in your face. Did you get something here this morning? And don't let the God of this world remove you from the light of the gospel. By the way, the word for light here, to shine out of darkness, this word is a very interesting two words put together. It means one who steps away from illumination. One who literally steps away from illumination and becomes dumb. Satan loves dumb believers. And God loves growing them up. Did you get something here today? I brought my Greek Bible out and I didn't even use it. Everybody stand up. There isn't one of us in this facility that does not have a stronghold in the way we think. Some of us, the stronghold to us might not be that big, but to that person it can be a big stronghold. Are you following me? And I think this morning as we're all standing, can we have a little music there? Tammy, listen to me. I want you to close your eyes because this is not going to be for an altar call here. This is going to be on the sake of the message. Close your eyes. And there might be some thinking in you that's self-incriminating, that's not right. You might have been hurt by somebody. Somebody might have spoken words to you that pierced your heart, that you have a hard time shaking. You might have had a failure in a relationship. You might feel that no one really cares for you or cares about you. But my Heavenly Father does. He loves you very much. And He cares about what you think. And He wants you to think good things. Because He tells us in His Word, I know my thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of good and not evil. My Heavenly Father loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be a prisoner of a stronghold that can get in you to destroy you. But you can let it go this morning. Another minister, my friend, I loved him so much. I loved to hear him preach. He was very close to me. But when he was dying, he looked up at his wife and said, honey, I don't want to leave a reproach to my life and the gospel that I preached. But I always feared that I would die of cancer like my dad. And now it came to pass. And it was because I allowed the stronghold in my thinking to remain and didn't do anything about removing it. So please let them know that it was in my hands to live or die and not God's. And he passed on. Nothing more discouraging to hear when a believer is taken out physically, especially when you know they refuse the light or the illumination that the gospel brings. And so if you have one stronghold that just sets you back, whether it's fear, whatever it is, put it in your thinking right now and lift it to God and say, God, I have this stronghold in my thinking. Help me to overcome it. And the Lord will do that for you. He's done it to me. So lift it up right now. Close your eyes and lift that thing up. And don't be afraid to admit it before the Lord. Don't be afraid to admit it. Say, Lord, I'm allowing this thinking to destroy me, and I refuse. Let my obedience become full, and I'll pull it down with the word. And just think of a word that would just fit right into that thinking and bring it down and make it be obedient. You're not denying the perception of your senses. You're making your senses come in line with what real truth is. And the real reality of truth is in the realm of faith. That's where we live. Faith. Faith in you. Okay. I trust you did it. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now prepare to close the service, if there's anybody here that has never received you as Lord and Savior, Father, we want him to come into the kingdom. Father, we want to rescue him from the powers of darkness and see him come into the kingdom of light. For his life does not have a determined end until he's made Jesus the Lord of his life. So if there's anyone here, Father, that has never really received you as their personal Savior, may they come forth today and receive you. And if there's anybody here that has never, never had the full baptism of the Holy Spirit, today is your day. Today is your day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And maybe your stronghold was a sickness that's ruling in your body. If you'd like to come forward, we'll lay hands on you and pray for your healing in Jesus' name. And having said all that, if you fit that altar call, please feel free to come down. Anybody? Well, how many enjoyed it today? I'm letting you out a little early today. God bless you.